It's Garden Talk with Noel. Noel, Manuka, is that a tea tree or have I got that wrong?
No, you've got that right, Dan. Manuka is a form of Leptospermum. So Leptospermum scoparium is the form of Manuka that we grow here. It's a tall growing native shrub, not a tree as the name implies if you use the common name of tea tree, but it's a fine leafed plant. It's a member of the Myrtaceae family and it has beautiful little white flowers. So the Manuka that we get from our wonderful bees here often comes from the wild Leptospermum scoparium, the native one, which has the white flowers all over it. It's often confused in the many nurseries that all Leptospermum scopariums are Manuka. And in one way, you could call them Manuka just purely out of love, but they're not all going to give you that Manuka honey like the bees would provide, because the more ornamental forms of Leptospermum scoparium are the ones that people seem to be attracted to the most, and these are the ones with the bright pink flowers or the deep scarlet flowers or burgundy flowers, and some of them have white flowers as well or even bicolored flowers, but these aren't technically the ones that will provide the opportunity for the bees to make real Manuka with Manuka honey. So they can extract pollen and what have them, but the double ones don't really let you do that, don't let the bees do that. So, but they're all classified under the same botanical name. The reason I wanted to chat about them a little bit is because they are wonderful plant species that occur naturally here in New Zealand and also in Australia. So in the Australasia area, we have Leptospermums. In fact, there's always been a bit of a contention between the Leptospermums of Tasmania and the Leptospermums of New Zealand and who produces the real Manuka honey. That's a conversation for another time. But the good thing about all Leptospermums is that they're incredibly hardy plants that are also very, very capable of living in heavier clay-based soils.
Right.
So when people say, oh, I've got a heavy soil, I don't have really good drainage sometimes, or it's sometimes difficult to grow other things in there, well, a Leptospermum could very well be a great saving grace for a lot of people. And many of these more ornamental coloured foliage or coloured flowering forms make great small hedges and screens. They're a finely foliaged plant, so you need to understand as they grow, tip prune them a little bit. That will encourage them to bush out as they develop. Don't wait till they get soft and tall and lanky for them to prune, because you'll be cutting away most of the plant, and that's such a waste. Yeah. So tip prune them as they grow throughout the entire year, and then they'll get a chance to bush out. Their flowers are often produced, or I should say their buds start to produce around this time of the year, but their flowers start to pop around about late winter into spring. So you will get that lovely spring colour, but from a different kind of plant. So it's a nice plant. They're a very old species, and they used to be grown in great succession back in the 50s and the 60s. And for some reason, people have just forgotten to use them as a small hedge or a small shrub in the garden. They're very, very beautiful.
Did they go out of fashion? Did people sort of think, oh, well, that's a bit old hat? Or?
Well, I don't know if that's the case. I think what happens is, as gardeners, we all follow trends.
Yeah.
So we're always on the lookout for something new and something different, something exciting. And when a plant is seen as, oh, look, it's been there for such a long time, you know, every man and his dog's got it, I think I'll go for something different. Or they'll pull something out. People will sell a home and then new people will come in and do a bit of what they classify as a clean-up.
Yes.
In the process of that clean-up, they will often remove what they deem to be old shrubs or plants that may not be looking their 100% best, pull them out and replace them with something new and flash that's in trend.
Yeah.
Put it that way. And unfortunately, for the old tea tree, they seem to have been caught up in the whirlwind of that. There's many plants that get caught up like that. This is one of them. But it's good to, I think, re-establish these plants back in our gardens because they are a tough contender. And bees do like them. And we need to give as much great fodder an opportunity for our bees to get their pollen so they can continue on their happy and highly productive lives.
Absolutely. And I guess that timing as well is ideal because that's when, you know, when they're popping early spring, that or late winter, early spring, that's when the bees are sort of starting to surface and looking for
That's very true. And if you've got plants that naturally attract bees and they happen to flower at the same time as, say, some of your fruiting trees, well, then that's a double whammy because you're going to get the bees into your garden. They're going to be there looking at other things. And then while they're there, hopefully, they'll pollinate your fruit trees at the same time.
So that's a complimentary one to actually have if you do have fruit trees.
Yes.
Look at putting one of these.
Certainly, absolutely.
Or more. Yeah. More than one.
Yeah.
Now, turning our attention towards the internet, it is a cesspit of information, misinformation and lies and I think a lot of scam artists, quite frankly. And that doesn't just extend to the Nigerian prince looking for your bank account details. It goes across the board to gardening and seeds.
Yes, I think I'm related to many, many royal families around the globe.
Apparently we all must be.
With the emails that come through and all the things that come up. Facebook, I'll target Facebook a little bit here. So when you're scrolling through Facebook, you get these ads that come up with pictures of flowers. And this is more of a buyer beware opportunity for us to help a lot of people out there. As gardeners, we are incredibly drawn and attracted to things that look different and things that look exciting to our eyes. Chefs say that we eat with our eyes, and gardeners say that we shop with our eyes because something that's brightly coloured will always draw our attention. So there's been these scams that go around in cycles, and they seem to know when to put them on the internet to draw our attention, especially around about this time of the year, right through till about maybe October. We will start to see things such as multicoloured roses, those amazing rainbow roses, and black roses, and blue roses. So I need to say...
Photoshop?
No, they're not... Well, yes, they are photoshopped, but generally speaking, they're not photoshopped. They are black, they are blue, they are rainbow, but they have been professionally dyed and coloured for the cut flower industry. So it's a patented and very guarded secret how this is done. There are flowers now such as orchids that are coming into the stores that have been artificially coloured. They haven't been sprayed. They've been coloured through the entire cellular structure of the plant.
Wow.
So it's not to say that that's a bad thing, but it needs to be understood that if you propagate from that plant or those plants, that you're not going to get those colours.
Yeah.
But in the case of the roses, as I mentioned, the rainbow roses, and anyone can look them up on the internet, and black roses and blue roses, the gene for blue, which is a primary colour, does not naturally occur in roses.
Right.
So hence they say, and I've heard it, I think, all of my gardening life, oh, they're working on producing a blue rose. Well, as yet, I'm nearly dead, so they actually haven't brought one out at this stage. It means that it's an incredibly unstable gene that does not want to sit well with roses.
Yeah.
So to have multicoloured roses and to have pure blue roses advertised on the internet for people to buy seeds from is completely and utterly wrong.
Mm.
Okay, so it is not true at all. These have been, as I said, completely coloured for the cut flower market. And the way they colour them is a guarded secret. But it is, they are truly dyed and coloured. And they're taken up through the cells of the plant to produce these amazing colours. The rainbow coloured roses, I think, are amazing. They should actually sell, they should try and sell bouquets of these around Pride. Mm. Honestly, they're absolutely beautiful to look at. They're breathtaking.
Yeah.
But do not fall. People should not fall victim to buying packets of seeds from the internet. There are many flowers that they're using and they're colouring them on the internet and they're doing AI-generated images these days. And people are falling for this because, as I said, we're enticed by what we see visually. Mm. We love the colour spectrums. We love all of this. We want to have something. As a gardener, every gardener wants to have something that their neighbour's gardener doesn't have.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? So that's...
So I mean, it just shows you how old-fashioned I am talking about Photoshop. I mean, AI, I hadn't even thought about that. But that is it, isn't it?
They're AIing animals.
It's what have you got? What's real, what's fiction?
That's right. People are believing all this. So I see it all the time. And when my friends comment about certain things, I have to stop and interject. I'm one of these burst your bubble type people. I hate to do it, but I know it needs to be done. So you don't get multicolored checked birds, for instance, right?
No.
It doesn't happen. So the same with the flowers. Do not fall for the scams. There will be these companies, usually based in China, trying to sell you seeds of these plants.
They must know. They must be deliberately misleading people.
They are.
Right.
They're deliberately misleading people. Yet, thousands upon thousands of people each year fall for this, unfortunately, and they part with their money. Mm. And they may get something, but most of the time they won't, because customs won't allow seeds of those things to come into the country.
Yeah.
But they'll part with money and they'll get nothing back.
Yeah.
All right? So... I just put an urge out to everyone out there, do not fall for this. If there's something out there that looks too good to be true, it most probably is, consult and speak to someone who is very well versed in horticulture and gardening, and I'm sure they will put them on the right track. So you should never buy seeds for roses in any case, no matter how pretty the rose is or how common the rose is. You should never be buying seeds of roses from anybody. All roses that are produced in today's world have been grown initially from seed, from a hybrid crossing between two varieties. They're then grown for at least 5 to 6 years, and then from those seedlings, only a handful, maybe 4 or 5 out of thousands, are picked.
Wow.
To be worthy of then growing on. When they're grown on, they're grown from cuttings and they're then grafted onto a particular rootstock that has the viability to keep growing and has strong disease resistance. So roses should never be sold to anyone around the globe by seed. You'll never get a rose or the rose that you're thinking you're buying from a seed.
There you go, money-saving advice. Basically, don't fall for the scams.
Absolutely. And if you are in doubt and you are worried, then come in and chat with us, or go in and see your local gardener or your local horticulturalist, and I'm pretty sure you'll get the message.
Good stuff. Thanks for your time, Noel. Really appreciate it. If you do have any questions for Noel, flick them via the website, gardentalk.nz or real104.com. We'll catch up next week.
Thank you, Dan.